Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What are we getting on punt? Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And we welcome you to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. Two ways for you to interact with us on this program. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also make your voice heard via Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to your tweets throughout the course of this program and a number of news item worthy tidbits to get to over the next few minutes, and then we will open up the phone lines and get to your tweets related to the Giants. JPP was given the franchise tag on Monday, so we'll get into that. The Giants also cut center J.D. Walton to give them some more salary cap space as they look to pursue other players in free agency. And there was a big trade related to the NFC East, as it will not become official until next Tuesday when the new league year officially begins. But the Philadelphia Eagles appear to have been sending LeSean McCoy to the Buffalo Bills in return for linebacker Kiko Alonso, who missed last season with a torn ACL. And LeSean McCoy certainly has been a headache, Anita, for many teams from the defensive standpoint in the NFC East. But I think this could be a big win-win for both teams.
Absolutely. And I had an opportunity to speak with Dennis Thurman, the defensive coordinator, once with the Jets, now with Buffalo. Of course, Rex Ryan took him over to Buffalo with him. And when I was in Indianapolis for the combine, and I said, wow, you know, look at the Bills' defense. Keep in mind, Bills' defense did not have Kiko Alonso last year, unfortunately, because of an ACL injury, and arguably one of the best defenses in the NFL. So you've got to think, with the addition of course, Rex Ryan and his, like, very exotic blitz packages and schemes, I'm sure that they will improve that defense even more so in free agency, let alone the draft. I think they feel pretty confident that they have a really good defense without Kiko Alonso. So that's first and foremost. The one thing that my conversation with DT was, well, offensively, what are you going to do with the quarterback position? I mean, Kyle Orton last year, what? EJ Manuel, have you guys given up on him? And what, and a point he made, and it's kind of the analogy with Mark Sanchez, and that is, you know, when you have a quarterback who's not necessarily, let's say, a top five quarterback in the NFL, and we know who they are, right? The Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Aaron Rodgers, those guys. You look at quarterbacks that are serviceable, that can manage football games and not turn the ball over. Look at their third down, where they are on third down. Typically, third and one, third and two, third and three. Where you have quarterbacks that aren't your top-tier quarterbacks who get in a lot of trouble and don't have a lot of success in the NFL, they're the guys that predominantly, Lance, are third and seven, third and eight. EJ Manuel is that kind of quarterback. You can't have the guy on third and seven, third and eight. So he was just making the analogy and the point where you saw Mark Sanchez have success is when they had a great defense and a solid rushing attack, and they were committed to the rushing attack. So this trade is not a surprise for me. They go out and they sold the farm for Sammy Watkins. Okay, interesting to see how he's going to progress and what he's going to do his sophomore year. Besides LeSean McCoy, keep in mind, they are stacked in the backfield. I think Fred Jackson stays there. Of course, C.J. Spiller came out and said that he's already kind of been notified that he's gone. But go from LeSean McCoy to Fred Jackson, possibly, maybe, you know, that's a trading pawn come draft day. Booby Dixon. Bryce Brown, that was a guy that they
another
went out and they traded for, I want to say, a fourth round draft pick last year for the Eagles. So they've got a lot of depth in that running back. If this is a team that plays hard nosed football with Rex Ryan up there, they've got a great defense. They have a solid offensive line. They're committed to the run. I think they give EJ Manuel, because what else are they going to do with the quarterback position, Lance? You know, like I said, they kind of sold their soul to the devil to trade up to get Sammy Watkins last year. They don't even have a first round draft pick. So, you know, what do you do with that? I think you have to be committed to EJ Manuel, and I think because they are going to go back to him this year, they have to just, it's going to be a run first offense. So this trade is not a surprise to me, and it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. I mean, it doesn't sound to me like LeSean McCoy is pretty stoked about having to go up to Buffalo. Hopefully, you know, the fact that going into the season, we're all expecting the Buffalo Bills to have to commit to LeSean McCoy. It's going to be his offense first and foremost. Hopefully that'll change his tune a little bit.
Well, at least in terms of how this trade reflects on the Giants, they have to worry about what the Eagles are going to do. And it's very interesting to see what Chip Kelly does come the draft. There's a lot of speculation they may move up to try to get Marcus Mariota. But, you know, from their perspective, they're taking somewhat of a risk by bringing in a player who not only tore his ACL last year, Anita, but keep in mind he also tore his ACL in his third year at Oregon. So he does have a track record of knee injuries. However, he's very young. He was the rookie of the year following his first year in the NFL. And they also have a young linebacker in Michael Kendricks. You know, Philadelphia is really building a young nucleus of defenders, also Fletcher Cox on the defensive line. So if they can beef up this secondary, the Philadelphia defense is going to be a very unique group to watch next season.
And of course, obviously now all eyes on what Chip Kelly does as we get closer to the draft. And did you watch the NFL Network at all while the draft was going on? Did you like see the you know?
You're talking about last year?
While the combine was going on.
I saw some of the coverage.
Did you see Chip Kelly's face while Marcus Mariota was did you
well,
see
it seems
the,
like any time see, anybody in Oregon
did you
does
see the
anything.
Cutaways? I mean, he was enamored. I think it's evident that he's going to do everything he can to try to go after Marcus Mariota, but you're talking about potentially trading Nick Foles. You're talking about potentially, obviously, they're at 20 right now. That would be a, you know, you'd
huge
switch
jump.
You would switch your first round. You more than likely would have to give up a first round in 2016, maybe a second round as well this year in 2015. I mean, it's a lot to give up to move up for him. But I think that's the next big play for the Philadelphia Eagles is you know, how Chip Kelly can maneuver to move up and get his quarterback, which would be what they said. So if they go out and they get Marcus Mariota, it would be the 10th or the 11th Oregon player on his roster.
I'm not exactly sure of the number. I know there's a handful.
I think it's either 10 or 11.
Well, he just added one in Kiko Alonso,
right,
so the
which
number continues to
increase. I think Kiko made it 9. So Kiko made it 9. So I think that if he goes out and he gets Marcus Mariota, he drafts him, I think it would be 10 docks on that Eagles roster. Unbelievable.
It is pretty amazing how he's all of a sudden digging deep into his bag of tricks related to his college days. From an offensive standpoint, regardless of what they do at quarterback, you know, they still have Darren Sproles, and they have a unique group in terms of the wide receivers. Matthews,
Jeremy,
they drafted last year. Macklin,
they didn't
give the franchise
right.
tag, but they have enough cap space right now because the LeSean McCoy deal gave them, on top of the money they already had and all the cuts they took into consideration, nearly $30 million, it seems, according to the report. So they're going to have a lot of wiggle room in terms of their spending this offseason.
Yeah, I think LeSean McCoy's cap number would have been – there's two different reports. Some are saying 10 mil. Others are saying 11 mil. But, of course, with the addition of Kiko, it saves them $7.8 million on their cap space heading into 2015.
Because Kiko was on a rookie contract, whereas LeSean McCoy obviously has a few years into league. This was his sixth season with Philadelphia. So that is at least the NFC East trade that took place. And it's very early in the season. It's too early to speculate how rosters are going to start to shape up. But that was considered a blockbuster, considering you don't really see many big-time trades happen during the course at any time period during the NFL season. With respect to the Giants, and we will be getting to your phone calls momentarily at 201-939-4513, they give JPP the franchise tag, and Anita, it wasn't really that big of a surprise. There was a lot of speculation leading up to that move, and you know what a lot of people need to understand with respect to the franchise tag, it's a protection for the Giants. They still have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal with JPP. So just because they gave him the franchise tag doesn't mean he's going to play this season out under the tag. They still have plenty of wiggle room to potentially hammer out a long-term deal. It's not as if this is the end-all, be-all when it comes to JPP's contract. And the J.D. Walton release opens the door for Weston Richburg now to assume the starting center spot. But one other player that I'll throw out, and we talked about this throughout the course of the offseason, is Brett Jones, who they signed from the CFL. He has experience at center. He also has experience at guard.
I've never seen film. I don't know a lot about this guy, but I'm hearing great things. What do you know? Do you know anything? Can you share anything?
Well, I spoke to his offensive line coach on this program a few weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic.
With Calgary, and he talked about the fact that he is a very versatile player. He's got a good mindset, very strong in the classroom, and I've seen my fair share of film on him, and he's a guy that can push the line very easily. Now, there's going to be an adjustment from the CFL to obviously the NFL because of the amount of space that's given between the trenches with respect to the defensive line and the offensive line, but that's going to be a player that I think everybody should keep close tabs on during the course of OTAs, during training camp. Richburg certainly is the guy that's at the forefront because he's had a year to digest the offense. That was his position in college at Colorado State, but who knows? There's always a surprise that takes place with respect to the Giants, and they have a great track record with undrafted players. So that would be one in particular position battle that I would certainly keep close tabs on.
And you mentioned about Westbrook being versatile, and that's a really big key, I think, across the board when it comes to the offensive lineman that Jerry Reese and this organization drafts. Because we're sitting here right now focusing on Pugh. What do the Giants do at nine? There's some offensive linemen out there that some analysts, some scouts feel is a better guard than a tackle. So if you go after a tackle, do you move Pugh? Well, the great thing is, yeah, you can do that. You can move Pugh in. And the same thing with Richburg is, you know, what if there's a great center on the board? Well, you can keep him at guard. And so that's, I think that's so key. And what I really, really love about the way that the Giants draft their offensive linemen.
Well, and you look at a player like Kevin Booth, Anita, who they moved and mixed and matched. So you
was
need
a life was a lifesaver.
Yeah,
was
all
a lifesaver
the injuries that happened
the year that the Giants won the Super Bowl, of course. The last year the Giants won the Super Bowl. What a lifesaver that was.
You need that type of player that can move around into a variety of positions to protect yourself from injuries. And unfortunately, the injury bug has certainly struck the offensive line over the last few seasons. All right, let's open up the phone lines. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And to get things going, we check in with Stas in Washington. Stas, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Doing well. How's everything with you?
I'm doing well. So real quick, the guy from the CFL, one thing I think we always just need to keep in mind, like I hear a lot of good things about him too, but let's always keep in mind the size of the defensive lineman in the Canadian Football League and the size of the defensive lineman in the NFL. There's a big difference on how much bigger and faster they are in the NFL. So I really think that he's going to be a very good depth signing, but I don't see him being like an immediate starter. I think he's going to be a really good plug-and-play guy down the road. Like maybe somewhat of a Kevin Booth.
Well, I think there's going to be an adjustment period from every aspect with respect to his game. But, you know, the Giants have a track record of sometimes an undrafted player is given an opportunity and he wins a battle. I don't think a lot of people expected Weston Richburg to immediately contribute like he did last season. I understand it's a second-round pick compared to a CFL player, but I think the Giants have shown over the last few seasons their willingness to give young players and unproven commodities opportunities. So that's why I at least pinpoint that player as somebody to watch.
No, I agree. I just try to keep it in perspective. But I will say this: there are moves, and then there are counter moves, right? And what happened yesterday with the Chip Kelly trade, us being in the NFC East, I hope the Giants take some notice because that's about $30 million in cap room these guys have. I have a feeling that Chip Kelly's upset that he fell short 2 years in a row. And he's about to do something drastic. And it might be something that we have to deal with twice a year for the next, you know, 3 to 4 years. And I just hope the Giants are, you know, sometimes I feel we will, even though last year we were pretty aggressive in free agency and that's a little bit out of the norm. And obviously there are things that we don't know. But just by rumblings that I'm hearing, or rumblings that I'm not hearing, like you don't hear any rumors about a possible extension with Eli. You don't hear any rumors with extending Christian Mukamura. You don't hear, the only rumor we've heard was the extension on JPP, that they're working on something, right, that they have been talking. And then you heard that just today came out that they were talking to John Beeson about a pay cut. And I'm just hoping that we don't decide, okay, let's just try to move with what we have, because we need to always think about facing Dallas, facing the Eagles, facing the Redskins. And if Chip Kelly just gave away what, in my opinion, is one of the best running backs of this era, just gave him away for a linebacker who had two ACL surgeries, yeah, good. He is a good linebacker, but if I had to say who's the better football player between, I forget his name already, I say Shady any time of the week. You know, so for him to make that move, I have a feeling he's He's trying. He's going to make a power play here. Something interesting is going to come out of this organization. We better be ready to make counter moves. And if it's through the draft or through free agency, we got to be prepared to face these guys twice a year. And what are your thoughts on that? And secondly, I read something about the Montre Moore arm was in a sling. I didn't hear anything. I didn't know what was that about. If you guys can shed any light on it, if you know about it. And I'll take your answers off air. Thanks, guys.
Well, first and foremost, in regards to DeMontre Moore, Patty Trania, who covers the Giants for Inside Football, Journal Inquirer, Sports Exchange, and Bleacher Report, has a photograph of him with some other Texas A&M players. And, yes, his arm is in a splint. Kind of thing. I don't know anything about it.
I haven't heard anything either.
So I'm sure more information will come out on that. I just want to make a comment based on that caller. I don't think Chip Kelly gave LeSean McCoy away. Kiko Alonso is a really good linebacker. That's first and foremost. Number two, it's evident with what happened last year with DeSean Jackson that. You know, if you're not buying into what he's doing as a head coach, I think anybody's expendable in his book. So that's another thing. I disagree with that. Look at LeSean McCoy's numbers last year. He really didn't.
The offensive line was banged up. In fairness, so their running game struggled as a whole. They played a game of musical chairs, but. Previously, before last season,
yes.
he's been fairly consistent.
No, he has, 1,000 yards the past 5 years? I get that. But I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, to add to what the last caller brought up about how the Giants should be prepared to make a counter move, I don't necessarily agree with that philosophy. You don't just make changes just because teams around you make changes. You do what's good for the long-term viability of your franchise. And, you know, the Giants have made changes on defense already. They changed their defensive coordinator. We assume there's going to be some changes from a personnel standpoint. And, you know, that's the goal, to make what works for you, not necessarily what's ideal to match up with a team twice a year. So, you know, I don't think the Giants could all of a sudden hit the panic button and say, uh-oh, Chip Kelly's up to something. Now all of a sudden we got to get ultra creative. They just need to follow their game plan.
Really quick as well, both John Beeson and Victor Cruz were on with Bob Papa earlier today on Sirius XM. Victor Cruz said that he's running on a machine now. I guess not all of his weight. But running on the machine, I guess that allows you to kind of adjust how much weight you are running on. And he feels that he's hopefully will be ready for training camp. And also Beeson said he has not met with Spags yet. He's excited to meet with him. One thing that I found really interesting and that he did share with Bob Papa, and of course Steve Smith, former wide receiver for the Ravens / Carolina Panthers, was hosting with Bob Papa today, is Beeson said he doesn't have an agent, that he's dealing with his own contract.
Well, he had mentioned that when he made his new deal last season, the fact that he was fully invested into the negotiating period.
So, but of course, all of this is on Twitter. I just thought I'd share that. So, I'm a big fan of Beeson. Not only, of course. What he does on the football field, but also a leader in the locker room. I know there's some question marks in regards to Antoine Roll and whether or not Antoine Roll will be back. But getting these two guys back, I think would be huge for leadership in that locker room, because obviously they were front and center last year.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's head back to the phone lines. Dre is in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? How you doing, Anita?
All right.
Doing well, Dre. What you got for us?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I probably will be one of the non-Sue conversationalists today. Okay, we need to focus on safety. And you know, pretty much, I want to say that McCourty has fallen into our lap, but the opportunity, you know, for the past couple of months, all we talked about was, you know, the Patriots re-signing Devin McCourty. So now, here he is. We need to start making a play for Devin McCourty. Now, Sue is a difference maker, but I need my secondary to be sure, especially when you got DRC, Prince, you know, out there, but you need someone that's going to have that back. And if there's a possibility, you know, that we can bring back Antoine Roe and bring Devin McCourty in, now that's my pipe dream right there. you know. And I don't think I'm dreaming, you know, I don't think I have Bonner's and Dream's money with PR Cardam Dreams. I just think that it's possible, but, you know, I'm not putting my hopes up for it, but I think we really, really do need to make a play for Devin McCourty. That's where our attention needs to be, as well as coming to contract for JPP and Eli. I'll take your answer over there.
All right, Dre, appreciate the phone call. The Patriots decided to give Steven Gostkowski the franchise tag, their kicker, instead of perhaps Darrell Revis or Devin McCourty. So, you know, those players will have an opportunity to test the market. I'm sure New England's going to do everything it can to retain its own free agents, but he is certainly one of the most prominent safeties out there, as is Antrell Roll. If you look at the free agent group, you know, I would certainly put Roll up there in terms of one of the top safeties out on the market. And as Anita alluded to earlier, you can't overlook the leadership quality that he brings to the table. It's not just about X's and O's when it comes to a player like that.
Right, and also I'm hearing Miami is interested in his services. But one thing that, and of course the first chance that you and I have had to host here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, I've been with obviously John and Paul, and that is the desire, I believe, and what Roll has communicated to continue to be a Giant. I get it that he's from South Florida, grew up in the Homestead area. But let's face it, maybe a year, 2 years left in his career to play. Why not stay with an organization that he's had success? He's a leader in the locker room. I'm sure he's got to be extremely excited to play with Spags or for Spags and to retire a Giant. I think those things all have weight and all have value.
Well, it depends on what he's most comfortable with, as you just touched on. I think that he's built continuity with this team and within this system. And as John Mara mentioned, as Jerry Reese mentioned in their postseason press conferences, assuming the finances adds up, they'd be more than happy to have him back. It's the same thing with JPP. If they can get a long-term deal done, it would be ideal for the Giants. But, you know, there's so much from a financial standpoint that goes into making sure you're under the salary cap. And, you know, this is also related to the Eagles, and we were talking about this, some of the callers weighing in, and we'll get to your tweets momentarily, starting to speculate, oh, well, the Eagles have so much cap space, they're probably going to do something big. You know, keep in mind that, you know, you could even use the Eagles as an example. The year they put together the Dream Team, they were very aggressive in free agency, and it didn't necessarily translate to wins on that side of things. So, you know, the winners in free agency from a PR perspective or from a paper perspective don't always win football games. I think ideally you want to find balance. You want to be able to build the young nucleus through the draft and at the same time complement that with free agents. And the Giants did that last year. They drafted very well, a great deal of depth that they brought in, and they complemented that with some free agents like the Walter Thurmans of the world, the Robert Ayers, the DRCs. But, you know, there's no right way or wrong way when it comes to free agency, but going out and spending $30, $40, $50 million in total is not necessarily going to give you all of a sudden 10 wins.
Right. And also keep in mind, I mean, you know, there's still, in my opinion, a lot of work that I think is still going to be done before we even get to the draft. And I say we as the Giants organization does, you know, in regard to possibly restructuring contracts to have a little bit more wiggle room and play room underneath the salary cap. And also, again, something I discussed with Paul the other day, and that is not going into the draft with a big sore thumb in regard to, like, letting everybody know what your strategy is going to be, where you can't look at be in your war room and you can't look at your board and go, but we really need that, you know, not going in with such a necessity where it derails what your ultimate game plan is, and with the Giants, it's best player on the board.
And I think that's been the Giants' philosophy every single year, Anita, where they don't necessarily go in saying, well, we have a void at this position, so we need to satisfy that in round one. If we see somebody like an Odell Beckham or a great talent that is available, we'll jump and we'll grab that player. I think that there's certainly a track record in place to back that claim up with respect to the Giants. Let's head back to the phone lines, and we've got Big. Is that his name? Big from New Jersey. Okay. Big, what's happening?
Anita.
Big.
Hi.
What's happening?
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I think we need to go for. I don't think we have money to be spending on like big time free agents. I think we need to go after like mid level free agents, like the Norris Sears. I don't think we can't afford the safety. Like, we can't afford him from New England. He's going to be too much money.
Well, I mean, it's a game of speculation how much somebody's going to get on the free agent market, but McCourty certainly has played a very productive season with the New England Patriots. I'm sure there's going to be a great deal of interest.
How old is he, though? How much younger is he than Roll?
That's a good question. I don't know his age. I'll look it up right now.
You know,
I think he's 27, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, so.
But what about Denoris Searcy? Does anybody like him as a safety? Or because they say he can play the run real well, and he picked off 3 balls last year, but he didn't give up a high percentage of pass plays.
How old is
the guy? McCourty's 27.
Searcy
is 27. I don't know how McCourty. McCourty, I think he's 27.
McCourty's 27. Yeah, so, I just looked it up. Big.
That's another thing that I think you have to take into consideration here. I think McCourty, in my opinion, will demand more money than Roll. But like I said, I mean, how many years does Roll have left? You know, 2, if the Giants are lucky, possibly 1. Maybe he plays 1 more year. This is his last deal. You go after a younger guy like McCourty, then you're looking for a guy that potentially, you know, that can be here for possibly maybe 4 years if you're lucky.
Depending on, obviously, the length of the contract.
Exactly.
But, yeah, if you go for a younger player, you have an opportunity to groom them. But, I mean, who knows? Injuries happen in the NFL. I don't know if age is necessarily the best indication. Plus, we were talking about Kiko Alonso, who is a great linebacker, but he's very young, and he already's had 2 ACL surgeries. So sometimes age is not necessarily the best indication that player can thrive.
A lot of times each year, you know, you see those reports where they'll take, you know, what's the average age of a team. You know what I mean? And then they'll rank them. And, you know, for example, the Seattle Seahawks, who've been in it the past 2 years, obviously, you know, they're up there as one of the top, like, I want to say, 10 youngest teams in the NFL. So you're always going to see that. And that's where I think age does come into play, where, you know, you want a team that's kind of, you know, top 15 of the youngest, so that you're constantly... You know, age does play a number, not only in what you do on the football field, but also how quickly you rehab, because you feel like you're in a car accident on Monday morning, and how quickly can you get your body and your mind back to suiting up and practicing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and getting ready to play again on Sunday. Age has a lot to do with that, being able to kind of get back on the horse again on Sunday.
All right, Big, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Let's head back to the phone lines. Dan is in Pennsylvania. Dan, what's happening?
Hey, guys, Anita, John, love listening to your show. You guys do a great job.
Appreciate it. It's Lance, but it's okay. No worries.
Do you guys?
I'm listening to you. I just phoned in. I almost forgot, and I'm trying to just – I know I noticed Anita's voice, but I was like, is that Lance or John? I'm so sorry.
Do they sound alike to you?
Yeah,
Is it hard to distinguish the two?
John, I'm like, but anyway, I don't want to waste your time thinking who am I talking to. But I wanted just to touch on a couple of weeks ago, we got that guy from the Canadian Football League, the offensive lineman who was
Brett
like
Jones.
Brett Jones. We've been
down there, but then I'm like, that's why he was playing up in Canada. I'm like, how good is this guy? Is he going to be able to help us out on the offensive line?
Well, Dan, we were talking about him earlier in the program. And
you're kidding me. I'm so sorry.
No, no worries. Listen, you know, you're starting off a little scratchy here, but, you know, we'll try to redeem yourself as the phone call continues. The butchering of the name, the CFL player. But getting back to your point, he's got a great deal of versatility. He's played guard. He's played center at the CFL level. I actually spoke a few weeks ago, and I believe the interview is still up on our site in terms of the archives. You can look for it. His offensive line coach in the CFL came on this program and talked about what he does in the classroom, what he showcased on the field. He was one of the most decorated offensive linemen in the Canadian Football League. He was a rookie of the year. So he's got a nice track record. The key's going to be his transition because the style of play is a little bit different in terms of where the offensive linemen line up. But if you look at some of his highlights online, he's a physical presence. And I think that it's somebody to at least keep close tabs on during the course of training camp.
Hey, well, that sounds great. I figure I listen to your show all the time. I missed, like, the first 15 minutes, and you guys talk about the guy. I'm like, oh, my God, and then I talk about him. So,
no worries.
Anyway, well, that's good. Another body in there. We need those guys, right? So that's all good.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to talk about, Dan?
No, sir. Thanks for your time.
You got it. Thanks for chiming in. I appreciate it.
This is the first time you and I have had an opportunity to host Big Boo Kickoff Live together. I'm curious, with the number 9 pick – Paul DeTino's all about an offensive lineman.
So he's been all about an offensive lineman for the last 3 years, it seems.
Where would you like to see, or what player do you think is still going to be available at nine that you would like to see the Giants go after?
Well, I think with respect to players, you know, we got so much that we still need to see play out in terms of the next few weeks. Stocks go up and down. I would stick to more position, which is what you were alluding to. I think the line, and I'm talking about D-line or offensive line, would be at least the direction that I think would give the Giants some more depth, whether it be somewhere in the trenches. Like I said, on the defensive side, you're going to have some movement via free agency. And, you know, the Giants have always been known to like to rotate their linemen, especially when Spags was defensive coordinator. So, you know, that would be a direction I could see them going. And with respect to the offensive line, they had a number of injuries last year. So if you could bring in another young guy, you'd have a nice nucleus between Pugh, Richburg, potentially the player you draft. You hope that Schwartz gets back to full health. So I could see them going in either of those positions.
So as before we started the show, we were talking about Adam Schefter, Ralph Vacchiano as well, saying that there's some talk out there that the Giants could be a landing place for Sue. And you and I kind of touched on it a little bit before we started the show. That is a hefty price to pay for, you know, a nose tackle, a defensive tackle. I mean, granted, yes, when you look at the opponents with, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, we know Dallas, we're talking about it all season, one of the best offense, if not the best offensive line in the NFL. There's some reports out there that they might get Adrian Peterson. Imagine Adrian Peterson behind a line like that. Yeah, you're going to want Sue to counteract that. We don't even know what this Eagles team is going to look like at the end of the day with the moves that Chip Kelly's making, and of course Washington. But let's say moving forward, if you think Dallas is going to be your number one competitor in that NFC East, and you're going to face them twice during the year, maybe a third time in the postseason, and it's all about a running game for them because they've committed so much to their offensive line, you know, I guess that mindset of bringing in a Sue to counter that would be wise, but is it too much of a hefty price to pay in regard to get him?
Well, that's the big thing. We were talking about this before we came on the air. The reason the Lions didn't give him the franchise tag is they had restructured his deal X amount of times leading up to this year. So all of a sudden, the cap number was in the high $20 million range.
Right?
So, you know, you can't blame the Lions for saying we don't want to designate almost half of our salary cap to one player. Now, what could he get on the open market? I think it really depends on how much a team is willing to designate to one player. You know, it's very difficult in this nature, in this league, to say, hey, we're going to take almost a quarter of our cap, Anita, and we're just going to put it towards one player. I think that you want depth in this league. You want versatility. And in order to do that, you need to spread the wealth with respect to the cap. But, you know, it goes without saying the point that you were bringing up. In this division, Alfred Morris, DeMarco Murray, whoever the Eagles bring in, I'm sure they're going to want to run the football. And even what the Giants have been able to do, at least in the personnel department, they want to improve in terms of their rushing numbers. You need every team in this division to have big guys on the line because everyone can at least have the threat to run the football in this division. So I think it goes without saying that if you don't have a strong front seven, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But going in, you know, based on what we saw last year from the Cowboys and if these rumors, reports of them letting DeMarco Murray go, possibly Adrian Peterson, the Cowboys being a landing place for him and that offensive line, man, defensive tackle is going to need to step it up this season.
Well, the Giants have Jonathan Hankins, who had a standout year last year in his second year in the league. So that is certainly a piece that the Giants are going to look to build around. If they can lock up JPP, then he will be here for years to come. DeMontre Moore, you know, needs to improve in terms of being a dual threat, which the coaching staff has talked about, a guy that can stop the run just as effectively as he can get to the quarterback. I think when you look at the personnel on this team, Anita, there are pieces, there's upside, but like any team that the Giants have put together in the past, you want depth. So would it hurt the Giants if they brought in a defensive tackle or a defensive lineman? No, because all it's going to do is it's going to give Spags another opportunity to get creative. You know, another player that I've brought up time and time again on this show, and I'm interested to see how Spags uses Devon Kennard, because that's a player that I'm sure he's licking his chops right now.
Love
saying,
that kid.
Linebacker,
love
defensive line. So that would be a player to watch as well.
Yeah, I believe one of our tweets that just came in, was asking, what do the Giants do at the linebacking position? And as you said, Kennard, McLean, assuming, and I'm hoping Beeson is back. Not sure what happens with Jaquan Williams. I know he's a free agent, right?
Yeah, Jaquan Williams is a free agent.
Herzlick is a free agent, right?
They have a number. I believe so. I have the list right here in front of me. Jaquan Williams, I know for sure.
Right, Jaquan Williams, Herzlick. Not sure. I mean, but obviously that is a position that the Giants need to address, whether it's free agency or the draft. Offensive line, linebacker, safety, and touched on it a little bit, but wide receiver as well. You know what you get with Odell Beckham Jr. You got to assume going into the season, based on his rookie year being the rookie of the year, defenses are going to have strategy and they're going to come in. I think there's going to be a lot more physicality for him, like we saw in the Rams game, right? Like what we saw what the Rams did kind of frustrated him a little bit. They were playing some cheap shot football. But nonetheless, I think we're going to see a lot more of that for him this year. Some big question marks in regard to Victor Cruz. Can Victor Cruz be 100% coming off of that tendon tear? Reuben Randall saw flashes of brilliance from him last year, but just not enough consistency. And then what? So, you know, I don't overlook that. The tight end position, I would imagine the Giants would want to improve that as well. No disrespect to Larry Donnell. Had a very solid season, but I would imagine that, you know, they want to improve there. There's just a lot of areas.
There are. But you know what? It's good to have a lot of depth. And if you can bring back a number of players who are familiar with the system, it can only help you in the long run. Before we get back to the phone lines, I just want to send out a few tweets here because I know a lot of you are chiming in on the conversation regarding Giants free agency and so forth. Corey at M. Slady T. Cody says, is it likely they re-sign JJ, referring to Jarrell Jernigan, since he is a slot receiver since the Cruz injury? They brought back Kevin Ogletree. You just mentioned a number of players that are in that wide receiver nucleus. Who knows what they do in free agency? Who knows what they do in the draft? You know, everybody is under consideration, but I think at this point the Giants will probably explore their options. You look at, you have Cruz, you have Beckham, you have Randall. Those are at least penciled in as your top three. Ogletree, let's not forget about Corey Washington as your two primary backups. And Marcus Harris, you know, we forget that he got hurt in the preseason in training camp, and he had some very productive numbers. So that's another player that if he stays healthy, he could slide right in and move around and play in the slot and play on the outside. So, you know, the Giants have a number of weapons. I think this is by far the most depth I've seen.
Quick note here, Andre Johnson, it looks like he's going to find a new home to play in. Besides Houston, a few teams, from what I understand, there's three teams, from what I understand, that are interested. One that has been confirmed by Jason Cole, Bleacher Report, is the Colts. He's looking for $10 million a year. Other teams, to me, that make sense for a landing place for him, Seattle, the Patriots, and possibly Green Bay, because they did not tag
Randall Cobb.
They did not tag Randall Cobb, so not sure where Randall Cobb might end up. Andre Johnson playing opposite Jordy Nelson could be interesting, and also Cincinnati. So just to name a few landing spots, could you envision an Andre Johnson here? I mean, I don't see the Giants paying him $10 million a year, but could you see an Andre Johnson here?
I think it depends on the type of role that he would want to play. You know, right now, as I just mentioned, I think the Giants have a nice nucleus. And if Andre Johnson were to come in, and remember, it's a hypothetical, there's no clear-cut facts that are tying him here, you know, would he want to be a complimentary receiver, or would he want to be a guy that may come off the bench or something? Because, you know, if you're the Giants, right now you have a nice young nucleus that I think they want to build around. And one of the speculative reports, indeed, is the fact that Andre Johnson was told he was going to have a lesser role in Houston. So would he want to come to a team, per se, that may not be able to offer him as much of a role that he had dating back to his beginning years in Houston?
I'm trying to think. Besides DeAndre Hopkins took over as the number one there this year. Who else? I'm trying to think who else is in
there. They have really the tight end that they rely on within that offense. They don't really rely tremendously in the passing game. Keep in mind, and I understand that Gary Kubiak was more of a run guy, but they continued that this year. They have Arian Foster, who they continued to fed the ball to. So I don't really think that that's going to necessarily change philosophy-wise. Bill O'Brien is a guy that certainly likes to run the football just as much as the previous regime. But they did utilize the tight end in that offense. And DeAndre Hopkins, Garrett Graham.
Yeah.
Tight end.
But I'm looking at their wide receiving core and, like, really, you know, no one to write home about, you know. Demaryius Johnson. I mean, no real big names. So it's interesting. Obviously, that's a position that the Texans are going to have to address this year as well in the draft.
Let's head back to the phone lines, and we check in with Derek in Atlanta. Derek, what's happening?
Hey, Lance and Anita. How's
it going
today?
Derek? Doing well. What's on your mind?
Okay. So I wanted to know about, like, if you bring in Sue, okay, I don't know, I just started listening, so you might have talked about it already. But I was thinking, like, if you, he's probably going to look for about $110, $115 million over 6 years or something like that. And if you give him a signing bonus and then structure the salary as a increasing per year, so maybe you can get his base salary about $10 million this year, 11, 12, you know, the following years, and then balloon it up at the last 2 or 3 years. Is that something that could fit under a salary cap, especially if you, I guess, Beeson has taken a salary cut? You still need to at least do something with Eli. What is your thinking on that?
Really quick, just to throw out the numbers, you're kind of spot on. J.J. Watt was given 6 years, $100 million, $51.8 million guaranteed from the Texans. Sue wants to be the highest paid lineman. I get it. Watt comes off the end. Sue's pretty much plugs that middle, but nonetheless wants to be the highest paid defensive lineman. So those numbers are kind of right on. I don't know what J.J. Watt's cap number is. I don't know if maybe you can look that up, just so we have an idea of what kind of cap number that is.
His cap, J.J. Watt cap number this year would be cap hit is $21 million.
Well, it's a lot of money to designate to one player. That's what it gets back to, Derek. Listen, I mean, we could sit here and speculate about the numbers all day long. A guy like Sue, as we mentioned off the top of the show, and as you referenced some other defensive lineman contracts, it's going to cost a lot of money for any team that would go after him and lock him up.
And also, the second part of his question, Eli right now, $19.75 million? So in order, let's say hypothetically speaking, to try to go out and afford a guy or pay a guy that type of money, Eli would have to there'd have to be an extension and that cap space.
Realistically, you think you can get Eli's contract base salary somewhere around $12 million range, $10 million range?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay, I just have another question. Do you think the Giants are going to do anything with the linebacker core besides maybe restructure Beeson? Do you think they're going to bring in maybe a weak side linebacker or try to get another body in here too in free agency?
I think they need to, no?
Well, I think that they're going to look to add depth, if that's your question,
Derek. I think they need to, but it's technically, usually they don't do anything. So I'm just trying to figure out what do you think.
Well, they drafted Devon Kennard last season, so that was certainly an upgrade and a guy that could add some versatility. Who knows? They may draft another linebacker this season, and they could very well go after somebody in free agency. I can see them doing it on various fronts. Last year, Jameel McClain and Kennard, we're talking about two additions, and one was free agency, and one was the draft. So they could easily follow the same script again this season.
I just want to say, in the last couple of years, last year and just now, I guess Akeem Ayers was available, and we didn't go out and get him. Apparently, Kiko Alonso was available to a certain point. I don't know what we had to give up to get him. But there's linebackers out there available, and the Giants don't seem to move on linebackers. So, it's concerning me that we're probably going to, unless we draft a hybrid, one of those guys, pass rushers, like Vic Beasley or Dante Fowler or something like that. I don't see where we're going to get a linebacker at. I don't think you can take one in the first, second round. So you're going to get a third round.
Derek, I don't mean to cut you off, but let me use Devon Kennard as an example again. He was a late round pick last year, and I would assume a lot of people didn't think that he was going to have the type of impact that he did when he had his opportunity. So to answer your question, Giants could take a linebacker again in the fifth round, and who's to say that he doesn't blossom into a playmaker?
Yeah, okay.
Anything's possible. I mean, you don't necessarily need to hit a home run in the first round to have a playmaker at linebacker. I think we've seen players even look at what San Francisco's brought in over the last few seasons. A guy like Chris Borland this past season, also a playmaker in the later rounds.
Do you think the draft is deep in linebackers? I don't think they're deep in linebackers this year.
Well, and compared to other positions, I don't see nearly as much depth. But, you know, there's always somebody that falls under the radar that then gets selected late, takes advantage of his opportunities. That's why I go back to a guy like Kennard. You know, it wasn't as if everybody was talking about him left and right leading into the draft. And he became a very good player. And, Derek, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Okay.
Just some NFL news related to the Buffalo Bills. They have done a little bit more wheeling and dealing. They acquired Matt Cassel from the Minnesota Vikings for some undisclosed picks. So they are adding some depth to the quarterback depth chart. Just a little tidbit in terms of NFL news that just broke.
So, thoughts on Matt Cassel, having him come in, maybe competing with E.J. Manuel for that starting job?
Well, I'm not surprised that they went after a veteran quarterback. When they missed out on Josh McCown and there was speculation they were going to go after him, you figured they wanted to bring in somebody to help mentor or at least compete with E.J. Manuel.
What's the situation with Kyle Orton right now? Is he...
Orton retired.
He retired.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least for the time being, he retired again. There was talk he was retiring after he left the Cowboys, too. And then all of a sudden, mid-year, he signs with the Buffalo Bills. So we use that term very loosely. But at least he is classified as a retiree. Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. So glad you could join us here on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Chris is in Bayonne. Chris, what's happening?
How you doing, Anita and Lance? What's up?
Doing well, Chris. How's everything with you?
You guys done with the snow yet, or are we done?
Oh, please. Well, apparently we're supposed to get one more, like 1 to 3 inches on Thursday, and then Friday is supposed to be absolutely gorgeous, like highs in like in the 30, 35, not a cloud in the sky, and then like for the next 10 days, it's supposed to be like 47, 52, no snow, no rain, like.
That's considered
Anita, like
a warm
always,
front.
You put sunshine in my life. Like
So hopefully after Thursday, that is it. That will be it. In spring,
in spring
we'll be here. Please, please, please. I can't wait to get on the golf course.
I'm going to talk two topics. One topic you brought up, Anita, about the draft. Lance, I know everything's like, it's all up in the air. I get it. But we all put our GM hats on. We all talk about what might happen. I think the only three players I think they're going to be good players for us at 9, I think, which will answer the issue of defensive line and offensive line. I really think Sheriff's going to be there. I think Shelton's going to be there defensively. And I think we don't talk too much about this guy, Brown, but he could be there. And I think one of those three choices, I think, will be a good fit for the Giants. What do you think, Anita?
Well, I'll let Lance handle that.
Boy, just pass it off the question. Well, Shelton, who you referred to.
I'll pass it over to you, Lance.
Shelton, the defensive tackle, who obviously there's been a lot of hype surrounding him heading into the combine.
A lot of people compare him to Vince Wilfork. I mean.
Big presence. Keep in mind, though, if you look at his history, you know, he hasn't been a very consistent football player. He emerged really late last season into this offseason. At this time last year, and I read a number of stories on Shelton, he was an unknown commodity. So it was a big-time surprise how all of a sudden he's become potentially a top-10 pick. I think any team would at least need to take that into consideration that, you know, this is not a player that has played at the same level for X amount of years. So that's the one aspect that I'd be a little bit cautious of.
Also, these defensive ends / outside linebackers, I think they're all going to be gone. I think tackle's more of a need for us than defensive end. You know, guys like Flowers, guys like Dupree, these are all like, I like Dupree, but you know, these guys can play outside linebacker. I don't know if they'll go that route. I think tackle's more of a need. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, you're talking about tackle, meaning on the offensive line? Is that what you're alluding to?
Defensive line.
Okay.
Tackles versus these defensive and outside linebackers / college players coming out of the draft
just to throw this in here, at number 9, I just don't think there's a defensive tackle on the board. That's a top 10 pick. I just don't. You're talking about, and this conversation again I had with, and I'd love to get your response on this, Lance, and that is, you're talking about a top 10 pick in the NFL. You know, top 10 has to be like immediate impact player. Like you draft, you implement, you put him in there and he's a vital part of your team's success. I just don't see that. I just don't see that.
Well, with that scenario, then, and I'm going to go. I'm your assistant general manager. You're my general manager. So now I'm going to propose a question to you. If that is the case, whereat these major guys are gone before us, like these offensive linemen, defensive ends that we're talking about, they're going to be gone. Kevin White's going to be gone. Who knows? Cooper may even be gone. So now we go to maybe going back in the draft. Maybe we go down or move out. I guess that would be our only other option then.
Well, if you move down, you know, clearly you'd have to get a good enough offer where you think maybe stockpiling draft picks or getting a player in return is valuable. I still think the Giants would get a big-time playmaker at number 9, whereas
maybe you start to speculate. Besides all of the we don't know who's going to do what in free agency, who's your number 9 guy?
Well, I mean, Brandon Scherff could be there. Who knows? You know, and I'm referring to the offensive lineman. He may be there. You know, I mean, if he's there, I think that that's certainly an attractive commodity that I'm sure any team, if he's in that position, would certainly consider him. You know, it's a game of speculation in terms of who's going to be there, who's not. And I think, you know, you need to take into consideration what transpires with the quarterbacks. You know, we're assuming, based on the speculation, Winston will go number 1. Will somebody move up like the Eagles to get Mariota? As more and more teams grab quarterbacks, then more and more positions. Additional players fall down.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know,
absolutely.
That's going to all of a sudden change the conversation as well.
And I think there's enough of running backs in this draft that we can get someone down in the 4th round. You're right. Wide receivers is not as much depth as last year, like you had indicated in earlier shows. This week, and it's kid Marcus Harris. He is a darn good player on the Giants. He's a
absolutely
good player.
Yeah.
He's a real good player. He really is. And you know what? A safety, Anita. You know what? I wish they would sign Rowell, but you know, there's only one real free safety out there in this draft. You know, there's only and the kid Smith. He's the only really free safety. The rest of them are all strong safety kind of guys. So I think Rowell is the answer there. And guys, thanks for taking my call, and I'll listen to your comments.
You got it, Chris. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
So let's go down like just you know one of the big boards out there. Okay, Jameis Winston, as we speak right now, is in Tampa. He's meeting with the folks in Tampa. Everyone's anticipating the Tampa Bay Bucks to take him. We'll see if it happens. Obviously, the biggest concern there is his off the field issues. Is it worth the risk of a number one pick, especially at the quarterback position? Only time will tell. So Jameis Winston, Leonard Williams, a defensive tackle. That's probably the only guy but he's not going to be there at 9, okay? But a complete beast. A lot of people anticipate him to go to Tennessee, okay? Fowler, Marcus Mariota. A lot of people anticipating the Philadelphia Eagles to move up, trade up, and get him, of course, before he either drops to the Jets.
So that's 2 quarterbacks potentially. So that means just 6 positional players outside of the quarterback that will be selected before the Giants are up. That's what I'm saying. That could all of a sudden change the dialogue.
Amari Cooper expected to go to the Oakland Raiders, but keep in mind Kevin White really impressed a lot of folks at the Combine. Not sure what's going to happen there. But Brandon Scherff, offensive tackle, he'll be there. Vic Beasley, linebacker, he'll be there. Randy Gregory, defensive end, more than likely he'll be there. What about Landon Collins? That's the guy that a lot of people are comparing him to Sean Taylor. Sean Taylor was just such a force with Washington. God bless. The good thing is that the Giants are going to have a tough decision. There's no doubt the Giants are going to have a tough decision to make at 9 because there's going to be really a lot of outstanding talent at 9.
Absolutely. I don't think you could go wrong at that position. And like I said, if you pencil in 2 quarterbacks, there's a very good chance that somebody who the Giants have a great deal of interest in is going to be there at number 9. I want to try to squeeze in a few more calls before we wrap up the program. Let's check in with Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, Anita, how you doing?
What's up, Len?
Doing well, Len.
Good.
How's everything?
Good. Well, let's talk about the good news, because I think we hit just about every position today as a position of need during the show. But let's talk about the good news. We got Eli, we got Odell Beckham, and there's a strong possibility that JPP is coming back. And, you know, if you're going to run a 4-3 defense, you got to have that edge rusher, that defensive end. And that's That's our man, JPP, and I think we'll have him back. You know, there's just a lot of needs out there. I mean, what else can you say? We fit every position. Maybe, you know, here's an idea. I want to throw out an idea with Spags. Maybe we rely on the corners. You know, the corners are a position of strength. Let them play man-to-man. Let them play press corner. Take the pressure off the safeties. Simplify it for the safeties. Keep it really dumb and simple for the safeties. I don't think Antrell's coming back. And it's not going to be a position of strength for us. But let's rely on the cornerbacks and that press coverage for three downs. I don't want to see zone anymore. I'm tired of seeing guys run through our defense. Let's let our corners play to their strength and rely on JPP to give us a big rush. And, hope for the best with that. I'm hoping it's an offensive lineman at 9. It's just time. We got 4 guys if you count Schwartz. Hopefully he's going to be healthy. If we can get that 5th guy, maybe Jones becomes, the 6th guy. We got 3 or 4 years with an offensive line to carry Eli to the end, and maybe we get another Super Bowl out of it. You know, as far as the Eagles go, they also let go a cornerback yesterday. You know,
Kerry Williams.
Cornerback, yeah.
Corey Williams. Or Kerry Williams.
Kerry Williams, yeah.
You know, Lance, I know you know the way I do arithmetic. The Eagles are going to play the Giants and the Cowboys 16 times in the next 4 years. They're going to play the Jets and the Dolphins twice in the next 4 years. If you had to deal with Beckham and Bryant 16 times in the next 4 years, where's your next free agent splash by the Eagles?
You're right. You would think it would be in the secondary. Keep in mind they also have a question mark at safety with Nate Allen, too, and Bradley Fletcher's a free agent. So three-quarters of their secondary is probably going to change.
Listen, here's my prediction. 1 hour after free agency starts next week, Darrell Revis is a member of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they go after him. As you just mentioned, Len, that will be a need based on the guys that they just released and who were free agents. And you're right, if they want to deal with the Giants receiving
corps. You got to deal with the strength of the other teams in your division. And it's the quarterback in both cases, and it's those wide receivers. And again, you're going to have to play them 16 times. In the next 4 years.
Well, Len, your cliche
is going to have to cover. Somebody's going to have to cover.
Len, your cliche is you don't make moves to play the Jacksonville Jaguars once every 4 or 5 years. We know that's been well documented on this program.
And that's why I used Miami as an example, only playing them once. But we make counter moves to that, and I'm hoping again, on the defensive side. You know, the strength is going to be JPP and those corners. And so we got to somehow design the defense. Spags has got to design the defense out of getting the most out of those guys. And, we see what happens. From the draft, I hope it's an offensive lineman. But whoever it is, at the 9th pick in the draft, it's going to be a heck of a player. It's going to be a heck of a play.
I think we would all agree with that.
Like I said, it's a great problem to have. I mean, we're sitting here, we'll probably sit here for the next few weeks discussing who the Giants take at 9, who the Giants take at 9.
The 9th pick in the draft, we had to work awfully hard to get the 9th pick in the draft, guys. And now we got to take advantage. I hope we're not thinking of trading it.
They took advantage with the draft pick last year, getting Beckham, and they'll look to duplicate that this year. So, in terms of the track record, they got a nice nucleus that they brought in last season, and you hope that they can do the same this year, Len.
Yep.
And appreciate the phone call, Len.
Absolutely.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Not a problem. Want to try to squeeze in one more caller before we wrap things up. Let's go to Akil in Brooklyn. Akil, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you? How you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself? What do you have?
I'm okay. I just got a question, right? I know everybody's talking about different picks and all and for the top 9. And I think number 9 pick is, too high for offensive linemen. But I'm kind of having, imagining what if I don't hear on this program that we're talking about a player like Dorial Green-Beckham, who to me is, a great wide receiver. I mean, I know he had like a lot of off the field issues, but could you imagine him playing alongside with Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, we could give like defenses like a lot of fits for the coming years, and we should address the offensive line during the the off season. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, you're not the first person to bring up wide receiver. Parker is another one out of Louisville who is an elite wide receiver that, you know, could be in that ballpark at number nine. I think a lot has to be determined in terms of what the Giants think about their depth chart right now. As we mentioned throughout the course of this program, I see a lot of depth there as the roster stands. You know, is there room to add another person? There's always room because you need to protect yourself from injuries. But, you know, Anita, if you look at the depth chart right now, I would think that there's probably greater needs than wide receiver right now.
No, there are, but and this is a debate that I got in the other day with Paul, and that is, you know, because Paul's all about the offensive lineman. He wants an offensive lineman. They've got to go after Scherf. Okay, but that's not the way that this organization really prides themselves in how they draft. They go best player available. And we could sit here all day and talk about this need and that need and this player. Will this player be available? You know, Paul shared a story the other day that the Giants were shocked that Odell Beckham Jr. was still on the board when they drafted. And typically teams have two boards. They have one board that does exemplify needs and structures and grades those players based on the needs, and then they've got another board that's just strictly best players available and how they have them ranked. And Odell was head and shoulders above everyone else, regardless of need. And so it just kind of played into their hand. And look, rookie of the year. So is that, you know, will there be another player that will fall to them at nine where he'll be just so exponentially better than anyone else that a surprise, a shocker that how's this guy still on the board at nine? That's what makes the draft so much fun. That's what makes, I think, tuning in on that Thursday night, now that it's prime time, that's what makes it so great, is you just never know. You never know. And I think there's going to be, also another thing, I think there's going to be a lot of action. This is my own opinion. I think there's going to be a lot of action this year. I think there's going to be some trades going on, teams moving up, down. I mean, it is every year, but even more so, I think, in the first round than we've seen in years past. Again, just my opinion.
Well, this is another thing, and history is something that at least you can look to put things in perspective. I'm looking through the previous drafts for the Giants to try to see the last time they took the same position in back-to-back drafts. And what I mean by that is I'm not talking about offensive line. I'm talking about guard, center, wide receiver. You have to go back to 1974, 1975, the last time the Giants took the same exact position in their first-round pick in back-to-back years. John Hicks and Al Simpson, for you historical lovers when it comes to football. So that has been quite some time. It's the same thing when, you know, people talk about linebacker. Last time they took a linebacker in the first round, our colleague Carl Banks. So, you know, I'm just saying, you got to at least put that in perspective.
Okay, I'll throw this on the table for you because we're talking about wide receiver, of course. If Amari Cooper is still there at nine, what are the Giants? I mean, this is a guy that's expected to go, where do the Oakland four? So Oakland pick four.
In that part, yeah.
Yeah,
in that fourth part.
Okay, this is a guy that's supposed to, like, if you did watch Alabama and you watched him play, I mean, this is a guy who's like, wow, like a wow factor. You team him up with, of course, Odell Beckham Jr. and Reuben Randall. Hello. If he's there at nine, do the Giants draft him? That, you know what I mean?
Well, so it'd be a good problem to have.
Right.
A good debate to have at that time. And remember, there's trades, assets that
Twitter,
you can toy with at
that Twitter time. Would go nuts for those 3 minutes.
Well, to put the
it would be insane. Well, but again, we just don't know.
I think the rest of the NFC East, from a defensive perspective, would not sleep too well that night if the Giants did go in that direction. But I only reference history, not saying that that's going to follow and that track record is going to continue. But you know, they have a number of decades that have passed since the Giants have gone to the same position in back-to-back years in round one. So something to at least keep in the back of your mind. Certainly appreciate all the phone calls and the tweets over the last 60 minutes. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday here from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern.
Are you back tomorrow?
I am back tomorrow, correct. We will continue the conversation on that front, and we will continue our rotation each and every week.
And don't forget, on Tuesday, March 10th, Free agent day. So this week it was all about, of course, the franchise tag. Next week will be all about free agency. So a lot of fun here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Absolutely. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Benno. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Want to get no punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.